All right. Well, let's pray, and then we'll look into God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord, for how much you love us, for how much you care for us, how much you've provided, and mostly, Lord, for sending your Son to die for us and for giving us life. We just thank you, Lord. There's nothing we can do to earn this. It's your free gift that you've given us. We just thank you and praise you for your goodness, Lord. And we just thank you for this time that we can meet around your word now. We just pray that you guide us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I don't know if you've noticed that there's a big problem in the world. You've probably noticed that, haven't you? There's a big problem in the world, just in our culture. It's not just in our culture, but talking about evolution, okay? Evolution is a big problem, and we need to be able, as Christians, to counter evolution. Evolution is just being pushed and pushed and pushed, no end, and it's really evil, okay? I'm going to say that. And evolution, we need to be able to refute it from the Bible. And we need to be able, as Christians, to be able to see what's wrong with it and how to combat it. Another problem is churches. We were in a church some years ago. Before we moved up here, it was an evangelical church. And we were there for some years, and they never taught on Genesis. Never taught on Genesis the whole time we were there. Never taught on Revelation. There was things that they avoided. And we were there for probably about 8 years. And then they taught on an evolution. Well, they did. They taught on Genesis. I'm like, oh, Genesis. Wow, I haven't heard anything about Genesis for so long. For a really long time. More than 8 years of being in the church, plus however many years before then. And I didn't realize where they stood with the church. And this church didn't believe in the Genesis account. Open it up to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. That shouldn't take you long to find, since it's at the start of the book. You don't have to go, oh, minor prophet, major prophet, New Testament, Old Testament. Just turn the front cover and you're basically there. And we need to understand the importance of the first verses of the Bible. If you take away, how relevant is the creation to the gospel? Well, you can have the gospel, and it's so important for everyone to teach and preach about Jesus, and the evangelicals and people are very good at that, very evangelistic people, definitely evangelistic people, and they push the gospel, and they push the gospel, and they're very evangelistic, but then come teaching on this, it's gone. They don't believe it. The gap theory, gap millions of years between verse 1 and 2, all of this stuff, God kicked off evolution and just gone, let it go, and man will come up eventually out over there, or something like this. But a lot of churches believe in evolution. A lot of Christians believe in evolution. A lot of kids believe in evolution. Dr. Seuss books, millions of years ago. Hey, I like Dr. Seuss. There's some good books. But there is the dinosaur one. Okay, there's the dinosaur one. Millions of years. It's everywhere, isn't it? Millions of years. Evolution. We've evolved. Everything is all the documentaries. You know, it's such a shame. The documentaries, it's such amazing footage of the animals. And it's, I love watching the documentaries. Just love them as a kid. And you see all this stuff. But the teaching that's behind it, the millions of years, they've evolved, they've adapted, and all of these things. And we need to know how wrong that is. And I hope I'm probably talking to you all people here at church and going, oh, why are you even talking about this for, Chris? We believe the Bible. And you don't need to talk to us about evolution. You know, I know I don't believe in evolution. But we need to counter what our kids are hearing too. We need to counter what's in the world. We need to counter everything that's going on. You can't pick up a book nearly that's not talking about evolution. Let's read the first verse. The first verse. It's very long. I reckon most people probably know. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, first, there wasn't nothing that exploded. And I've probably talked about this before, but the more you think about evolution from a biblical point of view, the more ridiculous it actually sounds. Have you noticed that? And have you noticed that what you believe affects the way that you think. So we need to know what the Bible says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, we have God's word here, and praise the Lord, the brother said, I love reading the Bible. God's word is true, but do we actually believe it? Is there parts in the Bible then that are unbelievable? Are there parts in the Bible that we should ignore? A lot of churches say yes. Ignore Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Ignore it. Ignore the book of Jonah. That's just a fairy tale. I mean, a guy getting swallowed by a fish, you've got to be kidding me. Don't even worry about Revelation, Daniel. I mean, who knows what that's talking about? Forget about it. Just read the gospel. Read the red letters. Only read the red writing in your red print Bible. I knew a guy. He only read the red parts. I said, well, what about the bits in between? He says, no. I said, well, you're only getting half of the story here. He's an unsaved man. He was in some cult. And he only read it and he was throwing these things away. If then part of the Bible is no good, if the very start of the Bible is no good, then don't even read any of it. It's not even worth holding. It's not even worth coming to church. It's not even worth wasting our time reading it, praying over it, studying over it, telling people about it. Because if you're going to take creation out of the gospel, you've got no gospel to give to anybody. There is no gospel if there's no creation. Because, I'm going to give you a verse here. I'll probably give you a few verses, but anyway. Let's just go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Okay, and now all the things in the Bible, go to Romans chapter 5, find that one. But while I'm thinking about this, the things in the Bible that people think are no good, like the Jonah story, that's just ridiculous. Well, do you know what? Jesus talks about Jonah, doesn't he? Yeah, well, Jesus talks about Jonah. Remember, he says, everyone says, give me a sign, and he says, you're not going to get a sign, you're going to get the sign of Jonah. It was in the earth for 3 days and came out. It says, and someone greater than Jonah is here. You take Jonah out of the Bible, well, same thing. Adam and Eve, a literal Adam. People go, there was no Adam. God used evolution to do this. Well, you know what it says? Jesus says, in the beginning, it was not so. They're talking about divorce and remarriage. He says, in the beginning, he made them male and female. In the beginning, Jesus did that. Actually, before we go to Romans, go to John chapter 1. And verse 1, 2 and 3, we're going to look about Jesus and what his part was in creation. Jesus wasn't a created being. He is God. Okay, people will tell you that Jesus was created. He's the brother of Satan. He's some kind of angel, something like this. But Jesus was there in the beginning. Look at what it says in John chapter 1 and verse 1 is kind of like Genesis 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know what this word is talking about? It's talking about Jesus. Turn over the page and have a look and go over to verse 14. It says, and the Word was made flesh, and what happened? Oh, he dwelt among us. Who's that? That's God. And who was that in the beginning with God making everything? God. Oh, we didn't get to that part. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Whoa, Jesus was there in the beginning with God. Can you see that? It says, all things were made by him. We're talking about creation here. You're taking creation out of the Bible, you've got no gospel, okay? You're taking Jesus out of the picture, you're taking all sorts of things out of the picture. It says, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Well, I really think that that's pretty clear and straightforward. And so if you ever come across a Christian that believes in evolution and the Bible, you need to tell them that they're wrong, okay? And I'm challenging you here tonight. If you believe the Bible, if you say you're a Christian and you believe in evolution, you can't. You're wrong, okay? We're wrong. We're going to have a look at a few things here. Go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, and here's one of the key verses that you need to use to show people. You need to know these things. We need to know what the Bible says, okay? So what happened before man came along for millions of years? What was happening? In the evolution of theory. Come on, come on. Okay, let's just pretend we're dummies here.
Lots of things died.
dying. Everything's dying. I mean, how can something then, like, I know, I'm going to learn to adapt to live in lava. Ready? I'm dead. But how can it change to get then, forget about that. Okay? So there's all sorts of things dying. Millions and millions. See, here's a theological problem with Christianity and evolution. That's why you can't believe as a Christian in evolution. Okay, this is why you can't, because you have a theological problem here. This is the only one. This isn't the only one. It says, moreover, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Now, what's death? What is death? What is the purpose of death? Where did death come from? Why is there death? Because of sin. And why is it there because of sin? Because it's the punishment for sin, isn't it? What did God say? He says, you eat this, you will die. The wages of sin is death. Okay, so here's your theological problem. If you believe in evolution, then you've got millions and millions of years of death before sin. Do you see that? You all see that, Chris. Why are you talking to us like we're dumb? Okay, so that's the problem that you have here as a Christian. You can't have theistic evolution. You can't have God kicking it all off. You can't have the Bible and evolution, and Genesis is just, oh, it's just a nice poetic kind of way of writing about something, or it's a very interesting read, or you get these things. I don't know if you've come across people that say these things, very learned people, and then they come across these things and they call themselves a Christian and they believe in evolution, and they talk about the different things. You talk about the book of Job and you talk about Genesis and you talk about these challenging things, and they say, oh, it's all poetry and it's a nice read and you can like it or not, or take it or leave it. I don't really believe it, but we believe in Jesus. See, if we don't have the creation, then we've got years and years of death, and then there was no point for Jesus to come. Okay, why did Jesus come if there's been millions and millions of years of death, and death is normal, it's natural, it's supposed to happen, if it's not the punishment for sin? See, there's no gospel. Why do we need a savior? Then Christ's death was pointless. Okay, you're going to be talking to people who don't believe in God, but as Christians, we need to know these things. We need to understand why these things, it means there is no point of a gospel. That is why these people don't care about Christ, because there's no point. And if we're, as Christians, if we try and mix them things and put them together, we're going to run into trouble, because then it's a pointless death of Christ on the cross. He didn't need to do it. It was just pointless and worthless and totally irrelevant. You might as well not even bother. We are of all men most miserable. That's talking about the resurrection. But there's no point if you take out creation. And there's, well, there's such a push in the world. Okay, it's everywhere. Counteract with your kids. You know, talk to them and say, well, you know, that's not actually true, isn't it? What does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says that God made everything. And you see these things, and look what it says. It says, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Men didn't change into monkeys and evolved and stuff. There's death in this world. Everything is under the curse of sin. That's why everything dies. Okay, when God created everything, it wasn't supposed to. When God created everything, it was good. And when God created everything, it was very good. Okay, now let's go back, changing the topic a little bit here. Let's just go back to Job and chapter 38. And if you want to study this out, this is really good, because God asks Job a whole bunch of questions. He asks him about 59 questions, actually. Now, he asks him more if you read through to 40 and 41. But in the chapter 38, there's 40 questions. In the chapter of 39, there's 19 questions. Then he starts talking about Behemoth and Leviathan in the next couple of chapters. Okay, and God is just showing man something here. You know, if you read Romans chapter 1 as well, he says all these men, they became wise, professing themselves to be wise, they've become fools and all of this stuff. And I love what God says. And wouldn't you, I feel sorry for evolutionists. Honestly, I do. I feel sorry for people that are in a false religion. I feel sorry for people that are deceived, because imagine what it would be like to be fully convinced that you're right, and then you stand up and go, "Lord, Lord," and he turns around and says, "I never knew you. And I denied God the whole time." And you know where it says every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess, they will eventually go, "Oh, Jesus Christ is Lord." And have a look at these things. If you read, we're not going to read for all this because there's heaps and heaps here, but God just asked Job these questions. Basically, he says, "Where were you at the start?" Look what it says in verse 4. It says, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest?" Sorry, Job chapter 38, verse 4. And he's saying, "Where were you?" And you can imagine God saying to these people that are making these big professions and there is no God, and you look at that and they go, "Well, look at these complex systems and the way these things have all evolved together." Oh, it just makes you sick, doesn't it? And imagine God sitting up there in heaven just going, "You guys have got no idea. You've got no idea. Where were you? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou understandest. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon thereon? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened?" How is this earth hanging here? Huh? Evolution. It's random. Now, the scientists are pretty smart in some ways. They know when stuff's going to happen, don't they? They know when the next solar eclipse is going to be, where it's going to happen, when, where the best spot to look at it is, the next lunar eclipse. They know when the planets are going to be in a line and all this kind of stuff. Because why? Because it's in order, isn't it? It's in clockwork. And God set these things. God's got all of these things under control. He's got all of these things, and we need to keep our focus on the Lord. We need to keep our focus on what God has done, because we don't know. He asks all these questions. You read through them sometime, and it just makes you feel really small and dumb. Made me. You might not feel dumb. You're all probably heap smart, but I just read these questions, and I'm just going, oh man. Oh, yeah, I don't even know what that is. I don't even know how to... Yeah, as you read through these, look at verse 22. Look at this. "Hast thou entered into the treasure of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail?" Have you? No, I've seen hail, and it's been big storm, but you read in the Bible, there's going to be big hail as big as heavy as a man falling down in the tribulation. I mean, we got no idea... how big God is, do we? We don't have any idea how powerful, and I think we take it for granted because you read through these chapters and he's like, "Who are you to question me? Who are you to sit there and devise a theory that you know nothing about? Were you there? How is this earth hanging? What about the stars? What about the planets? And what about behemoth? What about this big dinosaur, the biggest, the chief of all creation, who is so big, his tail is like a cedar tree? And Leviathan, he sounds like a fire-breathing dragon who lives underwater. You go swimming down there and catch him with a hook, I dare you." You know, that's almost what God is saying, isn't it? Can you get this? Can you put a hook in his jaw? Can you catch him? Can you do that? He's big, isn't he? They're the biggest of creation. But I'm bigger than that. I am bigger than that. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he did it by speaking. That's how powerful God is. That's how powerful God is. And we have the Bible here that we can read and that we can look at. Have a look and go over into Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. And we need to not take all of this for granted. We need to understand that the whole Bible is written for us to have and to hold and to read and to believe everything that God says in it and not take anything out of it. Look at what it says. Proverbs 30, verse 5. We're just going to look at a couple of verses here about the Word of God. It says, "Every word of God is pure." You know, if every word of God is pure, he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Amen. Yeah, isn't God good? Every word of God is pure. So if every word of God is pure, that means that Genesis 1:1 is pure, where it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that creation is important to the gospel? Let's have a look. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and see what the Bible says. This is just a quick thing here about how we can depend on the word of the Lord and how we need to be able to refute the things that are going on in this world from the Bible. Look what it says, 2 Timothy 3:16, very well-known verse. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture, even Genesis chapter 1. You take Genesis 1 out of the Bible, whoosh, throw it all away. Even Jonah, even Ezekiel. Some of that's hard to read, you know, but it's all there for us to read and to look what it says. It is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's all profitable. All the word of God is profitable. So when anyone says that's not important in the Bible, then, well, you need to say it is, because it's profitable. See, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Oh, that's just four. And that verse says that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We need to know what the Bible says. It's not just about reading it like a novel and you read it to get to the end and you read it and you just read it to get through your reading and to get to the end. We need to know what it's actually talking about. And let's have a look at a last verse for looking at these things, Revelation 4:11. Okay, Revelation 4:11. We've looked at Jesus. He's the creator. He was there in the beginning. In the book of John, we looked at that. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. That Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That Word, Jesus, came down from heaven to be a person and lived with us to die for our sin, because in the beginning he created everything and man sinned and rebelled against God. And if the creation wasn't true, then why did Jesus come? He came to save us from our sins. That's what he came for. Who made everything died for us. Look at Revelation 4:11. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." We need to give God the glory. We need to glorify God, aren't we? He is worthy of it. Why is he worthy of it? Because he made it. Or else then we're just, you're just left at the end of the day like the world are, aren't you? Just pointless, floating around life. What's the point? What's the big picture? What am I doing? Is there any use in life? I might as well just go and do something stupid. But here it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Amen. That's what the Lord has done. And that's how important creation is. Okay? A creation is important in the Bible. And people think you can separate creation from the gospel, but actually the gospel goes right back to creation, doesn't it? Because you can say, Jesus died for your sins, and everyone goes, yeah, whatever, I don't care. Okay, but you go back here, it's like, well, here's the problem. Yeah, here's the problem. Death because of sin. Not death because it just happened for millions of years. Millions of years of death? Nah. It doesn't happen like that. Okay, so remember these verses. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. That's when sin came. Not for millions and millions and millions and millions and forever of years of things dying. So we need to know these things. We need to know how to counter these things in the world. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for the word that you've given us, Lord, that we can read it, that we can know it and understand it, Lord. Help us to look to you for all things, Lord, and for wisdom and for direction. We just thank you that you came down and dwelt among us to die for us. We just pray that you help us to be wise as we go out now and to be able to just be living by your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.